T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The call screen is not working over here. I just asked Manny Chang when my mic was off, who's on line one, Tommy? He goes, David. Glad I asked, because I would have just gone out to Tommy on line one. Yes, it is. It is. The 8 o'clock hour of the Alex Donner Show. Bill Lindsay going to join us later on this hour. Another color analyst I really enjoy here in this market. Go out to the phone. So you said it's a David. You said, right, Manny? Is it David or Tommy? I'm asking a serious question. It's Dave? David? He doesn't remember now. Hello, sir. You're on WQAM. What's your name?
Yo, what's up, Donald? It's David.
David. Okay. We had it. David, how you doing?
All right. Right on. I'm doing good, man. I actually don't want to talk about sports. I just bet my stepdaughter $50 that we would get on the radio because she didn't believe me that we'd do it.
So what does that mean? Do you owe her or does she owe you $50?
She owes me $50.
How old is she? Is she able to pay up, or is she going to have to like work for a year to build that money?
She's going to have to go ask her mom to pay up.
That's awesome. Congratulations to you, sir.
Her name is Desi. Can you give her a shout-out on the radio, Donald?
Debbie, I couldn't remember your stepdad's.
No,
what was it?
Desi.
See, I'm screwing up all the names today. Desi, shout-out for you, my friend. Sorry you have to pay $50.
Hey, Desi, give your uncle a shout-out. She's being shy. Thanks again, Donald.
All right, you got it. That was interesting. Shouting out the entire family. 56022. Say get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. But please,
Donald,
text,
can you give Ronaldo a shout out?
I do want to talk some soccer later. Hell, we can do it now. I mean, okay, so that was one of the big sporting moments of the day today. Do you want to play the soccer open?
No, let's leave it for later. No,
we'll leave it for later.
We have to do it the right way. This is football. This is World Cup year. We got to do it the right way.
You know what I am hoping for? I'm going to try, and I got to work everything out with the schedule with my 6-week-old son, because, you know, it's hard to leave the house. Like, here's, like, when you really feel like a grown-up when you have a child, assuming you're not rich enough to have, like, a full-time nanny, which I'm not, but as soon as you have a kid, you've got an infant at home, anytime you leave the house has to be meticulously planned, right? Like, where it's understood that, you know, I'm on the air from 6 to 10 most nights, so I like to leave the house around 3:30, get to the station early, prepare. So it's like it's set in stone that I have to be able to leave the house 3 o'clock, 3:30 every day. But if I try to do anything else, it takes like weeks of planning to be able to leave when you have a 6-week-old at home. So I'm going to try and get out to the presser at the Fontainebleau next week on Tuesday. They're going to announce all the teams, the matchups and the locations for the International Champions Cup, which is coming back to the United States. So after the World Cup is over, you're going to get a lot of the best clubs in the world coming to the United States to play friendlies, to play preseason games. Manchester United will be involved. Manchester City, Juventus will be here. I know they're still sour about the way their Champions League ended. AC Milan will be here. And Inter Milan, the team that I root for, will be here. Yeah, they're coming, Manny. They're coming for International Champions Cup.
Can you not mention Real Madrid?
Real Madrid, they come here every year. It's old hat, old news. Real Madrid's coming as well.
God, you're such a hater.
I'm going to have the full list of teams.
Bro, I'm going to put you on the same couch as every Barcelona fan I know.
I'm not a Barcelona
Bro, you're such
fan.
A
Those
hater.
Guys suck. Those guys suck, Barcelona. Ridiculous. I think I'd actually prefer Real Madrid to win things than Barcelona. I don't like those guys. But, like, I really want to find out where these teams are going because, you know, with Inter coming to the United States, which only happens once in a blue moon, like, last year they went to Singapore and, like, China for their preseason tour. I can't get out to those
games. Is there any
chance
you'll be going with baby Luca to Singapore?
I think he'll be a little too young. Like, if I try to take him to a game when he's, like, 5 months old, it's a little bit too much. Eventually, I'll be taking my son to games. I'll take him to the San Siro in Milano. We'll do that eventually. But, man, I want to find out where they're going to be playing at because I have heard a rumor. I can't spill the beans on this because I'll get in trouble. Like, I know one of the teams that is coming to play in Miami, but it's not my team. I don't know who else is coming. And I would really like to know where Inter is going to be playing when they come to the United States. Is it somewhere I can easily get to? Because if they play in Miami or in Orlando, I'm set. I can obviously go to Hard Rock Stadium, or I can drive to Camping World Stadium in Orlando, no problem. But if they're going to like Portland or like Minnesota, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for me to get out there. So I would love to know if anyone has heard any rumors about where which teams are going. Like, I have heard that that AC Milan might be playing against Tottenham in the stadium in Minnesota, which, you know, thank God that's not where my team is playing, because it'd be a pain in the ass to go to Minneapolis just to watch my team play. And I would love to know who's coming where and who you would like to see if you want to. Maybe they'll do another El Clasico down here.
Alex, I don't think you remember this, but when the first Internationals Cup tournament ever occurred,
yeah, they were here.
Most of the matches, I think maybe all of them, were down here.
Yeah,
the end.
But they started spreading them out though a lot.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah, but I think the first one was the first one I actually ever loved, because I got to see AC Milan, Chelsea, Inter, Real Madrid, like all these clubs, and then like now that all these stadiums are getting built and upgraded, it kind of sucks in a way for us. But you know, we'll see.
And the last time Inter was here, I think it was like 2014. I couldn't go to the
game.
First
time that cup was down here. Yes.
I couldn't go to the game because I happened to be on vacation at that time, so I couldn't even go. So it like defeated the whole purpose of that. 560-22 is how you get at us via the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, or you can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560.
I have a text question for you.
Sure.
Hi, Alex. Not sure if you've been talking about this. I was just wondering, there's any possibility that one of the other quarterbacks beats out Rozier this season?
We talked to Matt Porter about it at 720, and everything we understand right now, and we're going to see some more in the spring game on Saturday, is that Malik Rozier is way ahead of everybody else. Take it for what it's worth, because spring football, a lot can change, my friends. Spring football last year, Rozier and Evan Sheriffs were neck and neck at the end of spring, and it turned out Rozier ended up being a serviceable starter, and Evan Sheriffs like couldn't even get on the field. The kid was terrible. Like he got on the field in that Pittsburgh game, and in the North Carolina game for a series as well, when Rozier hurt his shoulder, and Sheriffs just looked lost out there, where at least Rozier made some big plays last year and looked like a competent quarterback. So a lot can change from spring on, but Rozier is in the lead right now, heads or tails ahead of everybody. Nikosi Perry, I think his head is still spinning. Yeah, they've talked about, like, John Richt and Mark Richt have talked about Nikosi and said that, you know, the game is slowing down for him a little bit, but he's still behind Rozier when it comes to processing everything that's going on and making quick decisions. And I think he's clearly the next guy up, right? Whereas Malik Rozier is clearly in the lead, Nikosi Perry is clearly in second place, right? Because Jaren Williams, they want to redshirt that kid, as do I. Right, true freshman with some promise, dual threat quarterback, highly recruited out of Georgia. You're not going to rush him onto the field as an 18-year-old true freshman unless he's dynamically just better than everyone else. I don't see that happening. And yeah, I just don't think that Cade Weldon has the tools to compete with Rozier and Perry. So I think it's going to come down to being that two-man race. But at the end of the day, I don't see Perry unseating Malik Rozier, especially to start the season. Now, if Rozier has an awful run in October, could he get sat? Absolutely. Stranger things have happened. It didn't happen at the end of the year last year because your backup, Evan Sheriffs, was clearly not better. But if Rozier has a bad run, and by the way, I hope this doesn't happen, because if Rozier is having a bad run, it probably means my team is not winning. So if he wins the starting job, I wish him the best of success. I wish him 14 victories, 15 victories, because that would be two playoff wins and a national championship. I wish him the best of success, but it wouldn't be crazy to think he could get yanked midseason if he struggles. But I don't see one of the other quarterbacks winning the starting job, especially because you know you're opening against LSU in Arlington, in Dallas. You're opening against LSU. It's not like you're opening up against Bethune-Cookman or FAMU or Savannah State, who you play the following week. If you were opening with a cupcake, I think it would be a lot easier to say, let's give the young kid a shot here. Let's roll the dice. Redshirt freshman has looked pretty good in fall camp. Why don't we give him the start? When you're going up against a team you couldn't lose to if you tried, like Savannah State in the first week, then you can experiment a little bit. There's no room for error in that first game. Like, if you think that there's even a shred of difference between Rozier and Perry, with Rozier being the more confident, capable quarterback, you're not taking the risk of starting the younger guy. You're going to start the guy with experience. So I think that for you to see Nakosi Perry start the first week, he's got to win that quarterback competition convincingly. If the two guys are equal, I think the tie goes to the senior. Like, if the two of them look equal in fall camp, I think you would give the edge to Malik Rozier for the first game of the year, because you rode with him for 13 games last season and you know what you're getting. So no, to answer your question, I don't see it happening. It's not impossible, but I do not see it happening.
Donald, so you mentioned that if it's neck and neck, you go with Rozier, but is that the case because you're facing LSU and not a Bethune-Cookman?
That has a ton to do with it. That makes it an easy decision, right? Because if it's really neck and neck and you're opening with Bethune-Cookman, then it's a coin flip. Then you just have to decide, do we think we should start the future today and get the freshmen some reps? So then you have a real decision to make. But opening against LSU, I think if it's neck and neck, the tie goes to the senior. I absolutely do. Oh, Texter writes in, because we ranked my top three color analysts last segment. We will do this at some point. Would be interested to hear your list of top three play-by-play guys. Honestly, that might be tougher. That might be a lot tougher because there have been a lot of good play-by-play guys down here and a lot of play-by-play guys you may not like who I thought were good. Like Neil Rogers used to rip the crap out of Howard David, Mo Howard David. That guy was damn good at his job, man. I mean, Howard David, he used to get just incessantly destroyed by Neil Rogers, but he was a good play-by-play man, you know, and Steve Goldstein, I think, would get a lot of consideration for me. He's done a really good job calling Panthers games in recent years. Joe Zagacki, I like his style, and I like the fact that even as a play-by-play guy, you hear his passion for what's happening on the field. So we will do at some point, maybe later this week, top three play-by-play guys. Let's talk to Gordo on line one. What's up, Gordon?
Top three play-by-play guys? I mean, your guys you just mentioned were, you know, probably way down, way, 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 way down at the bottom.
Well, who do you like then? Give me your top three. And because, again, that wasn't my list. I was just thinking out loud. Of all time. Local guys, South Florida.
I liked the rock and roll. What's his name?
The guy who did what was his name? Who did the Canes games before?
Mark Vandermeer.
Vandermeer, yeah, he was good.
Yeah. You realize ever since Vandermeer left and Zagacki took over the play-by-play duties, we haven't won anything. I always, to this day, think it's the curse of Joe Zagacki.
I've seen people blame him for that.
I am the president and chairman and president and CEO of the curse of Joe Zagacki.
Wow. What if it's the curse of Gordon? Like, what if you did something different in 2002 and you cursed him?
Impossible. I do everything. Trust me.
It could be the curse of Dono, because Gordon, do you know my first year as a student at the University of Miami was 2003? So, like, I missed every positive run that team ever made.
Sorry. But you grew up down here. I mean, it's not like,
and I grew up a fan.
It's not, whatever. I mean, so it's like, you know, so for 4 years that you had to be in Miami, or you were there, and you know, you were around Orange and Green every minute. So whatever. But you were there for all the glory days.
So was Josie, though. Josie was there for all the glory days as well.
Well, but as the color analyst, not the play-by-play guy.
Right.
Different. Who else? I used to love Dave Halberstam. Used to love him. Remember him?
What? No, I don't actually. How old are we talking?
If you were on radio, you used to do the Heat games. Dave Halberstam. They got the whole thing about the Thomas Jefferson.
I think I would know him if I heard him.
Really, man. All you had to do is remember, he had that great Dan Marley call when Dan Marley hit that shot against the Phoenix Suns. Haven't you been in radio for, how long have you been in radio?
I'm only 33, man. I've been in radio for about 12 years.
You know Mark Vandermeer? You know Dave Halberstam?
Yeah, I know Mark Vandermeer. That was in my wheelhouse, man.
Dave Halberstam is probably one of the most controversial radio guys because of how he got fired from the Heat. And then they brought the worst guy ever. This guy, what's his name? He's the worst.
Eric Reed?
No, the play-by-play guy now, the guy from Canada.
Oh, so you're talking radio. Yeah, Mike Inglis.
I'm talking radio. Radio. That's all I'm interested in. It's a radio show.
I'm into the Mike Inglis era, man. That was all the championships. I like Inglis. That's my guy.
Yeah, I love Halvey. Neil Rogers and I love Halvey.
I got some research to do, clearly.
Clearly. I mean, listen, I would just tell you this about N'Kozy Perry, because I talked to someone very close to the program last week. And I asked him, I said, what are your thoughts on the quarterback situation? Is this kid going to have any shot next year? He goes, absolutely none. Guy's never been hit before. Never been hit.
Yeah.
Guy's not going to be starting next year.
He's 185 pounds, too.
Guy's never taken a hit. Never taken a hit, and you want him starting next year? And this is, I'm telling you, this is a guy, if I told you who it was, you'd say, all right, discussion's over. We won't bring up N'Kozy Perry up next year unless this guy's throwing just pick sixes all day, all night. What's the score in the Heat game?
It is, let me see, it's on commercial. Manny, what's the score right now?
I mean, I guess you guys are technically allowed to do that now. Because
we are, no, and the game's on commercial.
Oh.
I'll get that to you in a second. All right, thanks, Gordo.
I guess we got to play the Celtics, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if it's between playing like Toronto and the one seed, no chance.
Toronto, we get swept.
If you play Philly, you probably lose in five. 13-11 Raptors on top halfway through the first.
Are they playing anybody? Like, are they playing players?
Yeah, because they're trying to get to 60 wins. Like they're actually playing for 60. Looks like everybody's playing tonight.
They can maybe get home court advantage in the finals.
Yeah, they got their whole starting lineup out there.
Oh, my God. They don't have Ibaka. He ain't playing, right? Tonight? Didn't they say he's not playing?
Yeah, you're right. DNP. Yeah.
Boy, we got to work Dono. I mean,
oh, no,
I
I'm
mean,
sorry. Ibaka is playing. Yeah, he's five minutes. He is on the court. Yeah.
Oh. I thought someone said this morning. Like, was that? I think it was from the other station.
Yeah, Ibaka's been out there. 5 minutes, no points yet.
All right. Well, we got to play the Boston Celtics, so we got no shot.
Enjoy it, my friend. I got to let you run.
All right.
Gordo in Miami. He was taking me to task on that, man. Maybe I'm not qualified to do a top three play-by-play guy. I think I hit the analyst out of the park. Alex Donner Show continues. Bill Lindsay joins us next.
Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios.
Morse has more. Visit edmoresawgrass.com.
Raptors on top of the Heat, 16-13, first quarter. 17-13, make that. Oh, God, we're screwed. The Alex Donald Show here on Miami Sports Radio, 560 WQAM. Go out now to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. You know, I really wanted to break down the nuances of this game one between the Penguins and Flyers, but it's been a bloodbath so far. Penguins on top of the Flyers, 5-0. Like Manny Chang, who is kind of a Flyers fan, but has kind of turned his back on them, said now he really wishes the Panthers were in the playoffs, seeing how poorly Philly is doing. So we go out now to that Toyota of Hollywood hotline, bring in the blonde bomber, Bill Lindsay, color analyst for your Florida Panthers here on the radio network. Bill, how are we doing tonight, my friend?
Good. How you doing? Everything good?
Doing very well. So this Penguins-Flyers series, I know things can change from game to game, but Penguins already up 5-0 on the power play, trying to even add to that. This is not looking like much of a series so far.
I'm going for the three-peat. The one thing with Philadelphia getting in the playoffs, they got some star power up front, but goaltending. It's already been an issue in this game. Started Elliott. Mrazek's come over from the Red Wings, but they have goaltending issues, and that's going to be a problem when you're facing Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, these type of players. If you don't have a goaltender that can keep the puck out of the net and keep you close in hockey games against the defending two-time Stanley Cup champions, then you're going to have big issues, and that's been prevalent so far for Philadelphia.
So did I hear you correctly say that you've got the Penguins winning the Cup again, three-peat?
No, I don't, actually. I think they're going to run into some problems down the road. It's definitely possible that they can get back there and three-peat. That's just a lot of hockey, a lot of mileage that they got to go through. Their goaltender, Matt Murray, has been okay this year. He's been dynamite in the last couple of playoffs. Let's see if he can regain that form, but you got teams like Tampa Bay, Boston, Toronto, Washington, Columbus. there's a boatload of teams that I think will cause some problems for Pittsburgh further down the line.
Yeah, Bill, over in the Western Conference, I know a lot of Panther fans are anxious to see how the Vegas Golden Knights do in their first postseason. And this team has, they've really become a darling. Like I spent a couple of hours watching ESPN today, and they kept running video pieces about the unlikely run to the playoffs and how they are now the most successful expansion team in NHL history, which I feel bad about because you were part of the previous most successful expansion team in the Florida Panthers. But you look at the Golden Knights, who have some former Florida Panthers players and a former Florida Panthers head coach is now their head coach. How far can they go in these playoffs?
I think they have a chance to go a long way. The one thing that Vegas has is, like we did in 96 when we made it to the Stanley Cup final, we had four lines that you could roll over and just continue to attack teams and wear down teams. And they have that in Vegas. Even their six defensemen, everyone plays there. They got some good pieces. They got some complementary pieces. They don't have that high-end star power other than an in-net Marc-Andre Fleury, the goaltender, like John Van Beesbrook was for us. They got a legitimate goaltender that can definitely keep you in hockey games, but they can go four lines deep. When their team's down, I think they have a chance to advance. I got them probably going to the conference final. If they get there against Nashville, I think it will be a tough matchup against Nashville. I think they're the most complete team in the NHL, but Vegas, they're legit. I think they get by a couple of rounds, but the Vegas sportsbooks, they went off at 500-1 at the start of the year. They're down to 10-1.
Oh my gosh.
And I heard that Vegas was going to lose some serious money on those initial bets. The sporting books out there, Vegas ends up winning the Stanley Cup. So you got Vegas and their hometown team, and maybe many of the sports books wishing they don't get to the final.
You might have just answered this question right there, talking about being 500-1 initially, but should we have seen it coming that this Golden Knights team could be pretty special? Because I do remember it might have even been you who said this to me before the season, that like Vegas looks like they have a nice team. Should we be that surprised by their success?
To win the division, to finish where they did in the Western Conference, get the second playoff seed, that's surprising. I think the playoffs, you could think maybe this team could get in there, but to do what they did during the regular season is a bit of a surprise. They've got probably 10 or 12 players that have had career years by big-time numbers. Their numbers have produced exponentially. I don't think you could imagine that they had that an awful shooting at the start of the season. The team rallied around that at the start of the year. And then Vegas, that building to go into and play is extremely tough. It's loud and it's raucous. So I guess you could maybe see them getting into the playoffs, but getting the second seed in the Western Conference is a bit of a stretch. It's one of the most amazing stories that we've seen in sport in quite some time.
Bill Lindsay, color analyst for the Florida Panthers here on the radio network, joins me on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Yeah, again, Bill, it's disappointing to see the Panthers play some really good hockey, especially down the stretch, to collect 96 points and still fall short. How will you remember this season? Because I've been telling people, because I think a lot of people who don't really follow hockey just like to say, oh, well, obviously the Panthers weren't good enough this year. They missed the playoffs, yada, yada, yada. This is only the second time a team with 96 points has missed the postseason, and I fear people won't remember how fun this season was just because they didn't make the playoffs. How will you remember 2018 for the Panthers?
Tremendous growth, just what they were able to do from the start of the year till after the New Year, especially after the All-Star break. They grew as a hockey team. They became a fast team. They played some of the top teams in the NHL, were able to get a lot of victories. I think they established themselves in that second half as one of the better teams in the NHL, and it's disappointing. I think if you look at Pittsburgh, they're much happier facing Philadelphia than they would this Panthers on such a roll with some goaltending and some players, the core players, Trocheck, Huberto, Barkov, Ekblad, players that are going to be stars in this league for a long, long time. So what I remember is just the growth of this hockey team, this young core that they got the ability to build around, and higher expectations. You'll remember this year, if they follow it up next year with a tremendous season and get in that playoffs and get a high seed in the playoffs, which looks, in my point, should definitely be a possibility. So it's just been growth by the franchise.
And you mentioned the young core, and I know we are already seeing great things from the Barkovs and Trocheks and Nick Bjugstads of the world. But what about like a potential future star? Because late in the season, we saw Henrik Borgstrom sign a contract and come up and play a couple games for the big club and actually scored a goal in the Panthers finale. How good can that kid be? What, he's 18, 19 years old. How good can he be in the future?
He's going to be a legit player. He's going to be a guy that's going to be relied upon. And all of a sudden, if he plays his natural position at center, you got Barkov at center, you got Trocheck at center, and Borgstrom. If he turns out to be a premier player, which many people think that he's going to be in the NHL, he's going to put on some size and weight. But everyone wants to build down the middle with centermen. And if you have that, those three centermen as part of your puzzle here in South Florida, then it's going to be off to the races because, it's just an incredible young, talented kid that's going to, you got Owen Tippett that's coming along, the Seppo Niemi that played in Swift Current in the Western League, had, I think, over 120 points in like 60 games, over 2 points a game. So there's some young studs coming along to add to this group, which is only going to make this group tougher to play against and better in the future. And that's why Dale Tallon at the trade deadline didn't make any moves, because the teams wanted Seppo Niemi, they wanted Borgstrom, they wanted Tippett, and Dale Tallon did not want to part with those guys because he sees what's possible here in the future.
How much longer do you think Roberto Luongo can play at a very high level? He has said he's coming back for his 19th year, which I'm thrilled about, and he still looks great. But, like, realistically, how many great years do you think he has?
With the team in front of him getting better, I think he's got two solid more years.
Nice.
I think that's definitely a possibility. Just because the team in front of him is going to be so much better. He's not going to be relied upon. He's not going to get put out there on an island where he's got to make all kinds of saves trying to keep a team into a hockey game. It's going to be a legitimate team, a team that's going to advance. He's just going to have to make the key saves at the right time. So if he can play 55 games, get Reimer around 35 games, and they both can stay healthy, that's the big thing that you have to look at as an aging goaltender. Just keep him healthy for the most part of the season, then I think he's got a couple of good years left.
We're joined here by Bill Lindsay, color analyst for your Florida Panthers. And yeah, Bill, I know you also do some work and a great job for NHL Network. Will we be able to see you during this playoff run?
Yeah, hopefully in May. I couldn't do any dates in April because you got to commit a month in advance. So
oh, okay.
Didn't know, and if I do, if Panthers made the playoffs, I would have to do road games on the radio, which I was looking forward to with everybody. But so couldn't commit to April, but May I will be up there doing some playoff games, looking forward to it, and looking forward to the playoffs in general.
Which is good for you because you get to be a part of the rounds that mean more. Like you'll miss the first round because that's not as important, and then when they need the big guns, they call Bill Lindsay.
Never will dial it in. Yeah, we'll have a lot of fun. It's going to be exciting just to watch. If you look around the league, I think there's only three teams that would, I don't think, have a chance. I don't think the Devils, the Flyers, or Colorado have a chance. If any other of those teams that are in the playoffs besides those three make the Stanley Cup final, it wouldn't shock me, which is tells you how much parity is in the NHL. There's some teams that might be a stretch, but I think there's only three teams that I look at don't have a legitimate shot to get to the Stanley Cup final. Other than that, everyone else involved, I think, has a chance to get there.
Hey, Manny Chang just ran by me. He wanted me to ask you about his predicted final, Nashville and Toronto. You think that could very well happen?
I think Nashville for sure in the West, and Toronto's got that. They got a tough road. You got Boston. That's a tough first-round matchup. And if Tampa Bay, I think, will get by New Jersey, then all of a sudden you have to get by Boston in the first round. Then you have to get by Tampa Bay in the second round. Then you're going to have to get an Eastern Conference final, which likely could be Pittsburgh, Washington, Columbus, one of those teams. So those are three incredibly tough teams to beat, in my opinion, for the Maple Leafs. I think Tampa Bay having that first round against New Jersey allows them a little bit of luxury just to kind of ease themselves in the playoffs. So I think Tampa Bay has a little bit of an edge over Toronto. We'll see what happens in that first round. If they get by Boston, then maybe.
He's Bill Lindsay, the Blonde Bomber. Hear him calling games alongside Doug Plagans on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Bill, look forward to working with you guys again next season. Hopefully great things to come for the Panthers. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a blast, Alex. I appreciate everything. And Manny, all you guys did, it was awesome. So thanks. Have a great summer.
And follow this man on Twitter at Lindsay B Hockey. The Alex Dono Show continues next. I want to talk about a couple of draft scenarios for the Miami Dolphins, plus what Hurricanes coaches are saying about the quarterback battle. We continue next here on WQAM.
Right round when you go down, when you go down.
Manny Chang says he chose this song because the whole playoff seeding stuff has his head spinning right around. You want me to go over the playoff scenarios again?
Oh, Lord, please do, because this 5-0 game over here has me drowsing.
I mean, I had to write them down so that I wouldn't be thrown for a loop.
Wait, so first of all, how many exact scenarios are there?
Well, you can either, six, seven, or eight seed.
Holy crap.
But there are different scenarios that could get you the six, seven, or the eight. But those are the only three seeds you can get, right? You're not in play for the five. Six, seven, or eight is what you're in play for.
So one thing's for sure, no home court is obviously going to play at all.
Yeah, no, you're going to have to be road warriors.
All right, here we go.
That much is for certain. You know, unless in like the second round, you play like the eight seed that upset the one, you know, that's the only way you ever get home court. But so here's how you would get the six seed. The Heat will finish six with a win over the Raptors, that game currently in progress, and a Milwaukee loss. That would be regardless of the Wizards' outcome. If the Heat and the Bucks both finish 44-38, Miami has the tiebreaker because of sweeping the three-game regular season series, so we owned Milwaukee. If all three teams finish with 44 wins, the Heat have the three-way tiebreaker by virtue of owning the tiebreaker over the Wizards because of the conference record, thus winning the Southeast Division. That also would assure the Sixers, the Philadelphia 76ers of the number three seed, and Miami would then face Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs starting Saturday in Philadelphia. But here's the ironic thing. You would much rather have the seven seed than the six seed. I mean, please, give me banged up Boston over surging Philadelphia any day of the damn week. Philly, winners of 15 straight. They've been trusting that process for 6 years. That team looks fantastic. Give me the seven. So the Heat would take the seven. And Heat, by the way, trail the Raptors 37-35. More on that game in progress in a moment. 8 minutes to go in the second quarter. So plenty of time. The Heat would finish with the seven seed if they win tonight, Milwaukee wins, and Washington wins. Or if they lose and Washington loses. So you could still lose tonight and still get the seven. And not the eight, as the Wizards trail the Magic 26-23 at halftime. So that's good news. Or no, sorry, second quarter just starting, not halftime. So second quarter just starting, and the Wizards trail by three. So the Heat would finish seventh if they win, Milwaukee wins, and Washington wins, or if the Heat lose and Washington loses, regardless of what happens in the Milwaukee-Philadelphia game. With Boston locked into the second seed, that would set up a Heat-Celtics first-round series, yes, please, starting in Boston and likely on Sunday. Now, the Heat would finish with the eight seed if they lose tonight and Washington wins, regardless of what happens in the Milwaukee-Philly game. So with Toronto, who the Heat are playing tonight, ironically enough, locked into the one seed, that would set up a Heat-Raptors first-round series, which would start Saturday or Sunday in Toronto. And here is the painful truth that one of the texters has realized. Because Toronto's not resting people tonight. Toronto is playing everybody, including Serge Ibaka, who Gordon thought might have been resting tonight. No, they're playing everybody. So a texter writes in at 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line. What a slap in the face for the Heat. Toronto is playing all of their players. That means they want to play the Heat in the first round. That should be plenty of motivation. Yeah, because remember, Toronto, if they beat the Heat tonight, make it highly more likely the Heat end up in the 8 seed. That would still depend on the Wizards game, because even if the Heat lose and the Wizards lose, the Heat are the 7. But Toronto is making it very possible, if they beat the Heat tonight, that the Heat wind up in the 8. And that goes to tell you that's who Toronto wants to play. If Toronto didn't want to play Miami in round 1, they would be resting everybody. Like, I know they want to get to 60 wins, but not at the expense of your health heading into the playoffs. But guess what? They don't want to face Antetokounmpo in the first round. They don't want to face Wall and Beal in the first round, because the other teams that are in play for that 8 seed have proven closers. Like, okay, we're obviously not talking about teams with championship experience, but they've got superstar players that could really hurt Toronto in fourth quarters of close games, where they look at the Miami Heat and say, Goran Dragic, that's what you're coming at us with? You're coming at us with Hassan Whiteside, who rarely ever even plays in the fourth quarter? Oh, you're coming at us with old man Wade. I hate to admit it, but, you know, Ira Winterman talked about it with us in the 6 o'clock hour. 7-game series. The game is within 2-3 points, late fourth quarter. You give the ball to Wade because Wade is the guy with championship experience. Wade is the guy you want to elevate the Heat, win these games, be the Terminator, be the closer. 37-year-old Dwayne Wade, how many of those can you count on him to win? 3, 4? Can you count on him to deliver late in crunch time in 4 out of 7 games? Ira Winterman said you can count on him for about one of those games. Dwayne Wade, fourth quarter, vintage D. Wade, might be able to deliver for you once in crunch time this postseason. So with that said, you better hope. You better hope for the best that outside of that one game that old man Wade can deliver in, you're getting some deliveries from Dragic or Whiteside if he's even on the court, or Richardson, Ellington hitting some big threes. Like, you better hope there are other guys who can step up and hit those game-winning shots, because you can't count on Dwayne Wade to do that in 4 out of 7 games. You don't think the Raptors know that? A couple years ago, Heat and Raptors had a really fun 7-game series. We pushed those guys to the brink, but I don't think they fear the Miami Heat. I don't think Toronto looks at the Miami Heat and says, that's the team we need to avoid.
We the North.
God, I hate that so much. But I also
hate that slogan too.
I also respect it. Like, that area outside the arena, Jurassic Park, that's kind of badass.
Yeah, but that's kind of lame. That was normally made for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and then all of a sudden when the Raptors started being good, Toronto was like, hey, let's do it for both teams.
I bet they're capitalizing on the fact that they're making another one of those dopey Jurassic Park movies.
And their owner is going to be sitting courtside, as always.
First Jurassic Park movie, classic, great. What's the power ranking of Jurassic Park movies? First one was the best, no question. Then what was the second best? You think, was Lost World the second best, or was Jurassic World the second best?
I want to say it's a mix between Lost World and Jurassic World.
It definitely wasn't Jurassic Park 3. That was a piece of garbage, Jurassic Park 3. There was no point to that movie. I was like 16 years old when Jurassic Park 3 came out. I was so excited because, like, the Dr. Alan Grant was back. It's like, man, we're going back to our roots with this Jurassic Park. The T-Rex is going to be a big part of this one. It's like, we're remixing the original film. It's like they had no script. It was terrible, Jurassic Park 3. And that was a bad run that summer. I'm pretty sure Jurassic Park 3 came out the same summer that the Tim Burton remake of The Planet of the Apes came out, which was an even worse movie than Jurassic Park 3. Because I can remember that summer, I think within the same weekend, I went and saw Jurassic Park 3. Awful. But I can make this weekend better by going to see Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes. And that was even worse with Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg. He's been in some good films, man. Ted, Daddy's Home. I like Mark Wahlberg. Those are, like, not even the best Mark Wahlberg movies, but I liked him in those films. Loved him. I never saw Ted 2. But Mark Wahlberg in Planet of the Apes remake. Oh, Vince Papale. Yeah, he played Vince Papale. You know, I've never seen that movie. Miracle? Never saw it.
This is why you guys haven't won a Super Bowl lately.
So you're saying the Dolphins haven't won a Super Bowl because I didn't see the Vince Papale movie. What kind of sense does that make?
Absolutely none. I'm just very frustrated right now.
That makes no sense whatsoever. I'm very picky about my sports movies.
By the way, we have a no-hitter in South Florida.
Oh! Now you just jinxed it.
You like that, right?
You just jinxed it for these
Marlins. I went
Jurassic
Park 3 on that one.
Man. Yeah,
that's a big no-no.
And against a 9-1 Mets team, most successful team in the majors right
now. These Mets fans come out of nowhere. Oh, we've won 8 in a row. I'm like, buddy, relax.
There are a lot of Mets fans down here, too. That right there illustrates why, one of the reasons. This is not why. Because if the Marlins were a well-run organization, they would have more fans. You know, if they hadn't have had a half dozen fire sales, if they haven't had bad ownership groups, lack of self-awareness, the Marlins would be doing better with the fans than they are, no question about it. But another part of the reason why it's so difficult to find success baseball-wise down here is, you know, the Marlins have been around since 93. I know it's, what, 25 years, but baseball-wise, that's a blip on the radar. When you're talking about franchises like the Yankees, the Cubs, the Red Sox that have been around for over a century, the Marlins are a very, very new franchise. And South Floridians, a lot of you are transplants. I mean, how many of you listening can say you were born and raised here in South Florida? Your parents were born and raised here in South Florida. A lot of you are from other states and other countries, and you came in with existing allegiances. This city, if you haven't noticed, is full of transplanted Bostonians, transplanted New Yorkers, transplanted Chicagoans. I don't know what you call somebody from Chicago. Transplanted Philadelphians. As Manny Chang flashes his eagle tattoo at me. And you people come and infest my city, and you don't give up your sports allegiances. And I respect it, honestly. Because, okay, I'm a born and raised South Floridian. If I ever move somewhere else, I'm keeping my teams, right? Like, if I move to Philadelphia, I'm not going to say, you know what? I'm not sure about these Hurricanes. I'm now a Temple fan. Like, so I'm not doing that.
So you're not pulling a Manny Chang?
I'm not going to have 5,000 teams like Changer. A Barcelona fan called you out earlier.
Listen, buddy, go back to your dorm and keep crying, bro. Seriously.
Go back to your dorm and keep crying.
They were so quiet for 24 hours, and all of a sudden a penalty happens, and oh, they all wake up from their slumber.
After they got their asses stomped by Roma. I got news for you.
And Roma has never played well this year.
Well, and I got news for you because I am probably the only, I would say very clearly, I'm the only radio host in this market who watches Serie A games on a regular basis. Every match day, I watch Serie A games. I can't, because most of the other radio hosts here who like soccer, they are La Liga fans, Premier League fans, because all of you are bandwagoners. You just root for the easy teams everybody else roots for. I am a diehard Inter Milan fan. They're in a Champions Cup race for a top four spot with the likes of Roma and Lazio. You got Juventus and Napoli are at the top of the table. You're not catching them. But I watch a lot of Roma games because Roma is jockeying for position with the team that I root for. I got news for you. Roma is not a good team. Not a good team at all. Very, very average team. You know, they're capable of scoring some goals with Dzeko. Nainggolan is a good midfielder. Very undersized, very inconsistent. They've got some decent players, but Roma is not a very good team. And they spanked Barcelona. If you're a Barcelona fan, you should be ashamed of yourselves. Roma is not a good team. You should have run them off the pitch yesterday. That is not a good team. It's obvious to get spanked by Roma that you were not taking the match seriously. And it's Champions League. Every match should be taken seriously. Roma is not a good team. You know, Roma, a lot of people root for them. I think it's because of Francesco Totti. I think because he had a lot of fans. And so a lot of people, like over the last 10 years, have said, oh, I really like Roma. This is a great team. Roma is barely a relevant club historically. If I were to ask you, Manny, how many Italian championships, how many Scudetti do you think Roma have won? They've been around since 1927. How many league championships do you think? Just you don't have to think about it that hard. Just take a guess.
Two.
Three, which okay. Is not a lot. When you consider Juventus has won over 30. You know, probably half of them they stole, but they won over 30.
Damn, that was brutal.
Inter and AC Milan have both won 18 apiece. And Roma, you know, people in America think, oh, this is a great historic club. They've won three championships. Lazio, the other team from Rome, has won two Italian titles. You know, Napoli has a really good team right now. I think they've only won like three championships in Italy, three or four. I mean, Diego Maradona made them famous back in the day. But really, the only clubs that are really relevant in Italy historically are Juventus, Inter, and AC Milan. And everybody else is kind of playing catch-up in the history books. So don't act like Roma is the second coming of anything. And if you're a Barcelona fan, you think you lost to some great team, you lost to a team that may not even make Champions League this year. They may be Europa League bound next year. And I say this with peace and love as an Inter fan because my team is not very good either. They got some good players, but they basically took a three-month vacation and didn't win a game from December to March, and it's why we're in an awful situation right now. Update on the no-hitter, Manny. What we got?
The Marlins pulled the pitcher.
You make it sound like they're a hockey team pulling the goalie, like for the extra attacker.
I don't know. It's very disappointing.
Yeah, well, top of the eighth, so we went seven innings. All right. The Alex Dono Show continues, 9 o'clock hour, coming up here on WQAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.